The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Hour two of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. On this hump day, 30th of August, 2017. Al Whitney is my guest, and we're going to get into the meat as to why Al is up here on the air with me today. And there's a little thing, the booklet that you put out. Al, what was this about?
Well, I think some of your listeners might remember Joyce Rosenwald, who was an amazing researcher. She was on your network, I don't know if it was 2010, 2011, but she died in 2011. And I listened to a lot of her interviews, some of your archives. Incidentally, people should be thrilled that you have archives because they're wonderful. Some of them have already ended up on YouTube, so you can hear them for years. But anyway, one of the things that she did was she created with others a document called Notice of Condition Precedent. And I got a hold of that, and I looked at that, and I said, whoa, she didn't live long enough to actually implement her idea. She did announce it in several locations, but it just sort of disappeared after she died. So I took it up about a year and a half ago, and I started talking to other people about it. And lo and behold, the more we looked at it, the better it looked. The more I looked at it, the better it looked. Because so many people like Mike Parsons, bless his heart, and he's a good man. I don't want to say he isn't. But so many people who've been resisting this legal system are trying to find a strategy to deal with it, to somehow get back control of your life and not be inundated by these onerous, relentless codes, statutes, penalties, fines, and fees that are now bombarding us practically daily. A lot of them have ended up in jail. And I know you know some of them personally. An awful lot of them have ended up in jail. That's not really the solution for these wonderful people to end up in jail, sort of isn't what I would call a solution. And most of the people that I know, that I talk to, they, A, don't want to go to jail. Many of them have family members. They have children. They have, like you have, RBN to take care of. They cannot engage in activities, and they won't for the most part. That puts them in a great risk of going to jail. So when I read what Joyce had done with the Notice of Condition Precedent, we put something together, and it's in that booklet that you mentioned. The booklet is called Are You Legally Alive or Dead? And you can find it on our website, anticorruptionsociety.com. If you look at the tabs at the top, there's one that says Notice of Condition Precedent. If you click on that, the very first thing you're going to see is the picture of a man and a woman on one side of the page and a legal fiction person on the other with a Social Security number. And then there is a place that you can click and you can get this booklet and read it for yourself. It's short, John. It's only like 17 pages. And some of the 17 pages are footnotes or endnotes or references. So This is not difficult reading. The concept is based on the fact that, and I understand Clint Richardson, who used to be on RBN, has just written a book about the straw man. I guess 700 pages, which is pretty huge.
Great. War and Peace for bathroom reading.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the thing is that the birth certificate creates this all caps legal fiction. And the all caps legal fiction is a one-man corporation called a person. And all the statutes are written by these local. The whole shebang is based on the same definition of the word person. And in the booklet, we'll demonstrate that the definition of the word person is the same in the Federal Register as it is in California statutes, as it is in Ohio statutes, and as it is in the Uniform Commercial Code. A person is not a living man or woman. It is a corporate legal creation that was created by the birth certificate. And as long as we wear that hat and we say, well, geez, that rule applies to me, that law applies to me, and we go along our merry way, we end up in jail, we end up being fined, we have our cars taken from us, we're being forced to follow all these inane rules, of which there are so many statutes now. One individual said there's more than 6,000 out there, if you count all levels of government, and there's no way you could reasonably go through any day of your life without violating several that you don't even know about. I mean, this is a parasitic system. And my city council is continually passing more because it's a source of revenue. As they get hard up for money, they pass a new rule and they add a fine to it so they can collect it. So anyway, Joyce's idea was for us to post a legal notice. And the legal notice, she refers to as a condition precedent. And let me tell you the definition of a condition precedent. According to Black's Law, 4th edition, quote, it is a condition referring to a future event upon the happening of which the obligation becomes no longer binding upon the other party if he chooses to avail himself of the condition.
I have a choice.
Exactly. That's what's so beautiful about this. You have a choice to implement it or not. So when you go to our website, you'll see all the information about this notice, what it means, how easy it is to do. For a mere $25 donation to RBN, I'd be happy to post the notice for those parties who are interested. And basically all it does is tell the world that you're not a citizen of the United States. And when I say that, I mean the United States Corporation.
Yeah, I want to get into that and do that in full measure. But let me do this first, because when we have people calling in, I like to take their calls rather quickly, because generally they want to talk about something that we've already spoken of. So I don't want to put them too far into last hour or whatever. Chris in Las Vegas. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Thank you so much, Al and John.
Yes.
And I wanted to give Al appreciation, accolades, and homage, and let you know that I invoked your condition precedent in the great state of Arizona about a week ago when I created a condition precedent notice that I appended to my registration application.
Registration for?
One of my automobiles that they keep stealing here in Nevada.
Okay.
And so what I did is I created a condition precedent noticing them that the mere act of recording my automobile, my private home effects, which is concerning law will versus law will, that case in particular talks about private home effects, by no stretch of the imagination, tacit operation of law, or any other presumptive legal theory, could they be presumed and assumed that I was gifting, donating, or contributing my automobile to the private foreign corporate state because I was not delusional and could not be everybody have them dream up the theory that I was giving my automobile to the state by the mere act of recording it.
And they let me stop you here for clarification. Sure. To the audience. When you go and buy a new car at a dealership, it's kind of like the realtors. What do the realtors do? As soon as they put together a house deal, you want to buy a house, whatever, they run down to the courthouse and they register the deed and do all this other stuff. Well, that throws you right into their mix. Okay? If people would prefer that they own outright their house and their property, then you have to have a lodeal title, which keeps them, that enforces your king's doctrine. In other words, this is my threshold, buddy, and you don't cross it for any reason whatsoever. Now, in the registration process you're talking about at car dealerships, you buy a car. Well, they'll issue you a certificate of title along with some brand new spanking plates. It used to be you could transfer, but see, that's not good for the state anymore because that's just a transfer without a fee, and we need the money, so we're going to issue you new plates as well. But what they do with this, Chris, is they actually register it, and you're exactly correct, with the state. The state turns around, and most people don't know this, they take possession of what you just signed up for and what you're going to be paying for and what you're going to be maintaining. They have said that, okay, we're going to issue you a certificate of title. And if you financed this thing and your last payment and we're notified, you know, we'll send you your title. Well, it's not the title. It's a certificate of the title. Who holds the original title, Chris?
The corporate state of the fictitious entity who, when you understand the word term registrate is a reverse word, and it means stratify in the name of the corporate fictitious regis, the corporate state. And, of course, these attorneys, these word twisters, are very artful at twisting their words to use against you as war weapons of art. And they presume to assume that you and your insanity, because you were incompetent, not sophisticated, or lacking of sanity, were giving and donating your equipment, your purchased automobile that you're making payments on to the state, so thereby they can license it, thereby they rent it back to you in the form of license, registration, and insurance fees that you're obligated to pay for their property.
But you still, what gives you the illusion here that you are the whole and sole owner of that property is you're allowed to do with that what you will. You can sell it, insure it, burn it, bury it in your backyard, do whatever you want with it. It gives you the illusion that that's actually your property, but in fact, they maintain ownership. And I want to give people an example here. Al, I don't know if you came across this particular show, but Joyce Rosenwald, along with Peter Nice, was on the air with me one day. And Joyce Rosenwald, she was driving down the road, and a deer hit her. Now, I said that way for a reason. She didn't hit the deer. The deer hit her. And, well, of course, what's the normal course for people? Oh, well, I got in an accident. My car's damaged. I got to notify my insurance company, and hopefully they don't increase my premium. She said no to all of that and said that, you know what? The deer belonged to the state of. Your property damaged my property, which I really don't own to begin with. You know, your state-owned deer damaged my state-owned car, and I want you to take care of this. Since I'm paying all these fees and licensure and all this other crap, and I've got to jump through 92 different hoops, it was your stuff that caused this in the first place. Fix it. She didn't have to pay a damn dime to repair her car. The state paid the bill on her car because she pointed out what most people, 99% of the people in this country, do not understand is who's where with what standing and who claims what ownership of what. She got the state to fix her car because that damn deer, state-owned deer, ran into her state-owned car. Not a dime out of her pocket.
On
state-owned roads.
Yeah, on the state and owned and operated roads. That's correct.
I was going to say, I think Ralph Winter Road had a very similar experience happen. And I further suggest that I think Al would support this one, is that if it's the state's automobile, why aren't they paying the taxes, license, and insurance? All we have is the beneficial use if they're stealing our car and telling it, giving us the illusion that it owns us.
No, because the whole point of this, my friend, it's a revenue-generating machine.
That word term revenue is actually revenue. They move it from your pocket to their pocket.
Al, can I ask you one question before we proceed here? I'm getting a lot of noise off of your end. Is there something loose that's banging or something you're tapping or something?
I don't see it, but I don't know.
Okay, because this has been in my ear for an hour and 15 minutes, and I had to stop whatever it was. It's distracting. Obviously don't hear it because you're right there. Okay, so Chris, so you filed your notice. What do you expect? What do you expect out of this?
Well, I also put in an affidavit of status along with it, and it was accepted at the registration office.
Okay, affidavit. Okay, hold on. You throw terms out there, and don't assume that the people who are listening to the show know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, the Tales Law of Nations and Bill Clinton's executive order, I think it's 13012, if I'm not mistaken, Al, says that we all have the right to self-determine our political status. And on the DS 11, the Department of State's Form 11, which is the registration and passport form, there are only two choices one could reasonably elect to choose. And the first one they'd like you to fall into the trap of is the U.S. citizen, and we're taught to misbelieve that citizen's a good thing when it's really a diminished subject serf slave status under the 14th Amendment. The only other option on that same passport form is for a non-citizen state national or American state national, the state of your birth location, which makes you a free man, free woman on the land, and enjoying all the protections of your natural rights, including the ones incorporated in the Bill of Rights, not the mere privileges posed as rights that belong to the 14th Amendment subject serf slaves by the power of Congress. And so that's the way I assess it. I'm interested to see if Ms. Al has any other observations.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've come to the same conclusion, Chris, but basically we're saying you've got two choices, either within the United States Corporation or without the United States Corporation. There are people who have diplomatic immunity, cost a lot of money, even if they were offered. So you're either within or without the United States Corporation. If you're within the United States Corporation, you are classified as an enemy of the state, and you need to be licensed, you need to register, you need to apply.
You need to be approved. You need to be vetted and approved, and you're a United States citizen, right?
Yeah, and you're not supposed to be cutting hair without a license,
right.
And you're not supposed to be an electrician without a license, and you're not supposed to put your children in school unless they're registered. And all of these commercial contracts are laid upon the United States citizen. And it is indeed, as most people know now, it is we are sureties for the Federal Reserve notes. And this is a part of the scam, is we keep paying and paying and paying and paying.
No.
If I might, John, let me applaud your savvy, your radio experience in having Miss Al Whitney on your show on a regular basis. She brings to the table very much due diligent research, investigation, and proofs of facts and law and evidence with actual citations and law to back them up. In fact, I think that Miss Whitney is also the one who brought us Title 18 United States Code 911, which tells you it's a felony crime to claim you're a U.S. citizen if you can't prove one, and I don't see how anyone can prove that they're a dead corporate fictitious entity.
There's many out there that argue that, the United States government, it's not a federal corporation. There's nothing to this. Then I ask you, why does the FBI notify all law enforcement in this country that the sovereign citizens are your worst enemy, and they went one further? They'd much rather kill you than talk to you. What?
Received any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
What is your character? In other words of saying this is, what is your standing, folks? Yeah, I know you stand on your feet. I get that. But what is your standing? What is your character? And out of 28 U.S. Code 3002, this is not an opinion of what your character or standing is. It's a fact from the federal government's point of view. It is a federal corporation. So in order for any corporation to do any business with anybody, they can't do it with a living human being, flesh, standing upright person. And I just threw person in there for the heck of it. But a corporation cannot mandate. They cannot get you to follow statute. They can't wrangle you into their system, their commercial code. If you are a live, flesh and blood human being. So what do? They naturally have to convert you. The U.S. president is the CEO of the federal corporation. And Chris alluded to this. On August 10th of 1999, the then CEO, you knew him as Billy Clinton, he signed Executive Order 13132. Federalism. Section 2 states this: the people of the states are free, subject only to restrictions in the Constitution itself or in constitutionally authorized acts of Congress to define the moral, political, and legal character of their lives. Now, to the uninitiated person, they're going, okay, well, no, that's not so bad. The people of the states are free. Okay, we're free people. And subject only to the restriction of the Constitution itself. No, that's backwards. And Al, this drives me absolutely insane. I still have people to this day that argue that they weren't a signatory to the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, therefore it's not binding on them. And I'm going, wait a minute. This doesn't have a damn thing to do with you as an individual. The Constitution, the Federal Constitution of the United States of America, was written for the government itself as the guidelines there it's supposed to strictly adhere to. Period.
Your mom signed the certificate of live birth and turned you over. She pledged you. She didn't know she was doing it. Of course she didn't know it, nor did your father. They were completely unaware. It's all a trick. But the minute she signed the certificate of live birth and it was turned in by the hospital to the state, they created John Doe, all caps John Doe, with a birth certificate. So you were created in artificial legal fiction at birth, and you were never told. That's what we're trying to get people to understand. We have to get out from under
but
that.
But there's a little hook here that kind of softens it up, and the approach of the federal government declaring you to be a little corporate entity that they can do business with, or more importantly, rule over. Yeah, they've got to convert you. But you see, in order to get your benefit, here's the snag. In order to get your benefit, whether to get your Social Security benefits or to get your welfare or to get your Medicare or your Medicaid or a list of a sundry different things that the federal government offers you, that's the trap. That is the trap. It is for benefit.
Okay, but not only that, we volunteer to sign all the time. See, they can't force us to sign. So they say if you want Medicare, you have to sign. Well, Joyce was brilliant when she came up with this because it's all uniform commercial code. And part of what uniform commercial code offers us is a way to protect our rights. It's called without prejudice, UCC 1-301.
Which we already have to begin with, okay? I want people to understand this, Al, fully. You already have the rights. Under common law, you don't have the right to steal from somebody. You don't have the right to murder them. You don't have the right to covet their stuff. You don't have the right to do anything to them, okay? Period. Unless you suffer a loss and you can make a claim against their action that you yourself had caused. Okay.
Here's another unless, John. Unless you volunteer.
Oh, but see, that's what I was alluding to when you want your Social Security you paid into that is broke. Until you want a little benefit from the government. You know, I can't make it on my own, and Social Security won't cover it, so sign me up to that Medicare and Medicaid as well. There is the trap for benefit. Now they've got you. Well, we've got a break, so let's take this break. Al Whitney is my guest. In defense of humanity, folks. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Talking with Al Whitney today on the notice of condition of precedent that Joyce Rosenwald started to do before she had a massive brain blowout. Her and Peter Neese used to do amazingly interesting show. But I've got a couple callers here. Let me go to Lark in Texas. Hello, Lark.
Well, hey there, y'all.
Hi.
John, I don't know if I ever told you this, or Al. I spoke for 3 hours plus with Joyce about 2 weeks before she passed. And I'm telling you, we had a grand old time together. We really did. She was a great lady. And, of course, what I was talking about then in 2011 is what I still talk about today. And it's this thing called communitarian governance or management. And so what I want to do is just provide your listeners, and I posted this information in the nationalintelreport.chatango.com chat room. It's relative to this word that's bandied about in bioethics circles, and it's called probabilism, which comes from the word probable. And what informs that is the so-called decisions and standard of care within the so-called healthcare industry. We could look this up in any encyclopedia. But what informed probabilism were things like utilitarianism, futilitarianism, And famous futilitarians are people like Ezekiel Emanuel, who sat in on the drafting of the legislation for the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And then, of course, a guy named Brad Blanton, who wrote the book Radical Honesty. So we've got utilitarianism. That means that you're looking for a solution that will make the greatest number of people the happiest in an imperfect system, in an imperfect world, shall we say. Then you have Malthusianism. And this is the doctrine that was put forth by Reverend Thomas Malthus back in, I think, the 18th century, that said that we had too much population growth as it pertained to our ability to keep up with food production to feed everybody. And it's been disproved many, many times, but of course we have the co-author of the population bomb that we saw witnessed in the Obama administration in the way of John Holdren, his science commissar. He co-wrote the book with Paul Ehrlich back in the 70s. I remember reading that book. And then finally, there's this thing called scientism. And it's correlative to this word, amorality. See, in science,
Wait a minute. Lark, we're going down a road here, and we're running out of time on this second hour. Where are you going with this?
I'm about to finish in 15 seconds.
Okay.
It's in the chat room. Look it up. In science, they do not consider questions of morality and immorality. What is the rule of the day is something called amorality, A-M-O-R-A-L-I-T-Y. And so these are things that are important because they're tied into the so-called systems algorithmic formulae, which best fits your situation. And the bottom line is it has nothing to do about your health, your care. It's all about the shekels and everything else be damned. And that's the bottom line of the healthcare system today. I'd like to weigh in on the law aspect too, but perhaps another time.
Yeah, we have to because I've got backed up phones here. Each according to their need.
Just remember that word, probabilism.
Well, sounds to me like I remember the word cannibal and I remember the term cannibalism. All right, hey Lark. I thank you, my friend.
It'll make you scratch your head, believe me.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it. Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
I understand we're all legal fictions and straw men and whatnot, but what I fail to understand is how do you escape the trap? What are the specific steps in the process to get out from under it?
I'm glad you asked that question because that's why Al is on the show today, to talk about this notice of condition of precedent that the next time they come a knocking on your door, you can go, wait a minute, I've had this posted. I am telling you exactly who I am, and this is telling you hands off because I'm not one of your subjects. Would you like to expound on that, Al?
Yeah, you brought up the sovereign citizen, and I have told everybody never, ever call yourself a sovereign. Don't do it because they attach that to domestic terrorism. This is why when you read that section of the Bill Clinton executive order, that is right on the notice to communicate to them that their CEO has granted us the right to define our legal and political character. Basically, they have no choice, but that's a whole nother story. So when we use this notice and we can send it to whomever is inflicting unreasonable demands on us, we are citing their CEO. That takes you out of being a sovereign citizen. You're not claiming to be a sovereign citizen. You're merely defining your legal and political character, which the CEO gave you the right to do.
Now, this is where I'm confused. Other patriots, they swear that you call yourself a sovereign citizen. This is where it gets confusing.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be in deep doo-doo if you do. In 2010, I don't know if John remembers the Jerry Kane story, but they used that story again and again. I even saw it on a YouTube out of Australia saying sovereign citizens are violent and I mean, they blew something completely out of proportion, and they went out. The FBI sent to all law enforcement a press release defining sovereign citizens. And sovereign citizens, they labeled back in 2010 domestic terrorists. So stay away right. from that label. That label will get you treated pretty nasty. Whereas restricting your signature without prejudice, which UCC guarantees that it allows you to protect your rights. And a notice of condition precedent is not a challenge to them. All it is a statement that you publicly put out there in the big old world, and you can do it on a blog that we have called Condition Precedent. It stays up for 30 days. Then we send you a copy once it's cured, and then it comes down, and now you own it. Now you can respond by saying, I appreciate your request, however, see attached. I am not a United States citizen. Now you've got something that is not a direct affront, but you've got a statement that is supported by the CEO of USA Inc. We feel this strategy is less dangerous than any other strategy we've seen.
Because under the other one, you're classified as being a terrorist. That's and right. And to be honest with you, we through the NDAA, we saw what happened several years ago with that. They can declare you to be a terrorist, a direct threat, okay, an enemy combatant, give it a name, give it a title, I don't care. But they can strip you of all of your God-given rights that were spelled out in the Constitution, and specifically right. the Fourth Amendment of due process and all this. What it is telling them is, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not that guy. I'm not that straw man. But it's not right. in a belligerent status.
Correct. It's not a belligerent
yeah,
way
John,
of
John.
But Rob.
I think the definition of terrorist, I believe, in due time will change from week to week.
Well, let them do what they will. I mean, you're not dealing with honorable men here. They're going to counter anything that we try to do, but so far, this is the best one that I have seen. This protects you and gives you a certain amount of immunity because you're letting them know what your real character or your real standing in this commercial, then this is all a commercial venture, all of it.
Right.
Okay? So it is just quietly letting them know, thank you very much. You can move on to the next victim. There's nothing to see here. Move along.
I'd like to jump in here, and I'm so glad you brought up it's all a commercial venture, because we updated this little booklet to include that what they're doing, and Judge Napolitano has admitted this. They're tucking everything they do under the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what, if you go to Wikipedia, which incidentally is a good place to go if you want to know what the mainstream people want you to know. So when I went to Wikipedia, here's the definition they give you for commerce. Commerce is a term which means all of the activities which start from production and end at consumption. The system includes legal, economic, political, social, cultural, and technological systems that are in operation in any country or internationally.
Which is all inclusive to their matrix that they have built quite nicely for you.
Speaking of commerce, I understand, I heard that a copy of our birth certificate is kept on file in the Department of Commerce. Is that true?
I don't know if they still have it. I know that the certificate of live birth, some people say they keep it. Some people say they sell it. Some people say they destroy it when they create the birth certificate, which, if you notice, it's the state of Ohio has the birth certificate for you, or the state of West Virginia. And that's what you have to provide in Ohio. You have to provide a certified copy of your birth certificate today to get a driver's license.
Right.
So people
right.
who yeah. think that they weren't going to a national ID, folks, they've already done it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Chance, I hate to do this, but I got to keep moving, my friend.
Okay, good night, folks.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Rob in Minnesota, one of my favorite states, the state of confusion. How you doing, Rob?
Hello, John. Hello, Al. Thank you for taking my call. I'm not really, I don't know if I have enough time to flesh this all out. I want to talk about, you know, possession is, you know, 9/10 of the law, and does it actually mean anything at all? I've been in the same house since November of 1976. Because of surgery and everything, I had to refinance back in 2011. And so I refinanced for $79,000. I paid off my credit cards and the surgery bills and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And since then, not including interest, I've made $38,000 in payments. And so that means a balance of $40,000. Now, I've already gone through the sheriff's auction, and I've gone through the redemption period, so the bank owns the house. And they said, you know, $67,000 to pay them off. Now, since I've been here, I actually tore down a house, took it apart board by board, pulled every nail, and doubled the size of my house. I've redone all the plumbing, redone all of the electricity.
Okay, so you've done okay, I get it. You've done a complete rehab. Keep moving.
Okay, and so here I am. I'm still sitting in the house, and the bank hasn't evicted me yet. I have the whatever you call it, the abstract in my possession, and I, like I said, I've paid this house off twice. I've got everything. And is there anything that I can do, you know, to throw at least, like I say, the bank is, you know, this. As of August 15th, they own the house, and I have no redemption other than
you. You obviously have not talked to Tom D. He's got a commercial running on this network, by the way.
I have talked to him.
Okay.
To keep it. Yes, I have talked to him, and he said because, and John, I've listened to you for a long time. I used to call into you and John, Robbie Noel, and in the Trinamic Trio, you know, whatever. I used to talk about Richard Nye and all that. But anyway, it's been a while because I've had my nose to the grindstone. I worked a job, and Al, I've actually called into your show when I lost my job because, a woman lied about me, and it turns out that...
Okay. Rob, this is turning into a great story, but again, you got to condense the version here. We're running out of time.
Is there anything that, we're coming into winter, and I'm in possession of the house, is there anything that I can do to ask the bank to forestall, just to kind of throw, a monkey wrench into the gears that are going to get me evicted out of here?
Okay, Al, before you answer that, Tom D. was not able to help you, is that what you're saying to me?
He said because it was a... It was a Ultra Federal Credit Union is the name of the bank, and he said that federal credit unions are very good at crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and everything. And like I say, I paid off half of what I owed.
Okay, all right. I already heard that. Now we're circling back around. All right, Al, do you have anything for him? Because I do not.
The only thing I can think of is that people call and they have these issues. The problem starts when you sign that mortgage and promissory note. You sign it and you don't know what you're signing. You don't understand it. You want the house. You want the property. There's no lawyer. Even if when you bring a lawyer to closing, they don't explain it. I'm not sure they understand it either. So you may have signed an agreement to allow this to happen when you got that financing. Now, I did find in our own personal family life, there was a glitch when they tried to foreclose on a family member. Some lawyer found it. Apparently, if HUD has anything to do with this mortgage, HUD is supposed to come out to you personally and talk about your financial difficulty. If HUD does not do that, they can't proceed. That's what we discovered. You might want to look at that as a way to delay. We did find that. We found the rule, the regulation, that HUD requires it. And the banks just ignored it. So it did slow down a foreclosure. Take a look at that. But, when you sign the note, you sign generally, we all sign as tenants.
Yep.
We don't sign
Thank you.
As owners. We sign as tenants.
That's right.
And now you're seeing what happens when they want the property. Yeah. Remember Farm Aid? They took all those farms under that kind of garbage.
Yeah. Rob, I got to keep moving. I hope that was of some help, of some use to you. All right. Thanks for your call. Let me go to Jack in Texas. Hello, Jack. Thanks for holding.
This is a subject near and dear to my heart. It's just by chance I tuned into the broadcast. I'm driving down the road right now as we speak, so I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
I spent 2 years in federal prison dealing with this subject for those who ever tried to stand up and fight. Using the straw man issues, this, that. I've done every paperwork they ever imagined. I agree with everything. It's all true. So there's no argument on that for me. The only problem is that there's no enforcement to back anything up. And the unfortunate reality is that there is a system in place, and that system will do everything to protect itself.
Well, I don't disagree with that. However, when I talk to people and ask them, have you rebutted the presumption that you are the straw man? Well, I filed a UCC paperwork. They take you into court, and they don't even acknowledge this. However, if you go into court and you had the and you actually give the court this document saying that you are claiming your right to define your legal and political character, that is a whole nother ball game. That's not being belligerent. What that's doing
okay,
is...
Okay, ma'am, please. I understand it. I get it. And like I said, no argument here. I agree.
Okay.
The underlying theories and all that, I agree. It's all real. So, but I used to do anesthesia for a living. And as we speak now, I just got finished trying to go down and get a job today driving a beer truck.
Well...
Wait a minute, Jack. You're saying you're an anesthesiologist?
I was a nurse anesthetist. A nurse does anesthesia.
Okay, gotcha.
CRNA.
Okay.
Certified registered nurse anesthetist. Anyway, that's irrelevant. The point is, my life has been destroyed, and I'm in the process of trying to reconstruct some of this. But all that being said, to any of the listeners out there listening to this, I agree. It's all valid. But you better be damn careful, because the system that's in place wants to protect itself, and yeah. They will destroy you.
That's the whole point. You either comply, or, you know, this is giddy-ha-has for them to destroy the individual that's giving them so many problems, because they're there to protect the status quo. And you've heard me say this, and I don't want to be flip with you here, Jack, but, you know, we've likened the Gambinos and the Genoveses operating as political parties in Washington, D.C., and they'll still claim their territory. They'll still have their fights. Hell, they might off each other from time to time, but they're up there conducting business. Let an outside party threaten either one of their gigs, they'll both unite to turn on you to put you down. And this is the problem that we... I'm sorry?
Yeah, I guess that's the only thing.
Okay, Jack, I'm losing
you. Okay, I'm not repeating myself, but I don't mean to repeat myself, but the information is all true. There is a separation between the corporate state and the sovereign, or not.
Okay, let me cut to the quick on this. You spent 2 years in a federal jail. Where do you think it went wrong?
Well, that's the point, is that regardless if it's all true, and again, believe me, if there was ever anyone who wished it.
Okay, we don't have enough time to walk through this entire thing, Jack. I asked you a specific question. If you don't know what went wrong and where it got screwed up, then you've gone through this entire exercise for nothing. You've walked away after 2 years, and you're trying to put your life back together. What's left of it?
Well, that's the point. So anyway, there is no point. I just called in.
Okay.
Just to say that I've been down these roads.
Okay. All right. Well, so, Jack, I'm sorry for your incarceration. At least you received benefit of the federal government. They had to feed and house you at least for 2 years.
Right.
I guess there's one way to look at that. All right. Hey, Jack, I appreciate your call. All right.
Okay.
You know, Al, before we run out of time here, and I got one more guy I want to get to here. Look, this notice of condition of proceeding, in 30 words or less, what does it protect the individual from? What will it stop?
It brings in your, if you combine this with the fact that you abandoned citizenship, which you must do, that's how they tie you to
the
system.
Status or the character that they have placed you in.
Correct.
Okay.
You have to, you have, and you can do that by making that declaration yourself and canceling voter registration. You're no longer a citizen of the federal corporation. Now you can bring in your reservations of rights by signing everything without prejudice. I even have it printed on my checks. I run my checks through the printer, and right underneath my signature, it says without prejudice. I don't allow anybody to sign anything without putting that in there. That brings in this condition precedent in when you need to do so, when you need it. You've laid your foundation. Now you can challenge, what does the Medicare rule say I must do? Well, the Medicare rule says you should have a wellness exam every year. Well, I don't want one. Sorry, I am not accepting that. And I have the right, the reservation of right, to dissent to treatment, see attached. In other words, you've got to separate yourself from the legal fiction and rebut the presumption, or they will mow you down and, with merely a presumption.
And this applies to every agency. And again, folks, this was brought up under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. All
yes.
The stupid little agencies, the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, the IRS, give it a name, there's a million of them.
Yes.
What you're doing is putting them on notice is, hey, wait a minute, I recognize my flesh and living blood status here. I'm not showing up here for benefit from you. I am not declaring myself to be a United States citizen so I can vote for your corporate officers. Here is my notice. But it's right. Important for people to understand that this is very important. It must be posted for a minimum of 30 days in a public site in order right. to bring this into effect. How do they do this? And for people that want to take advantage of this, Al, tell them quickly how they can get that. And then maybe shove a paltry $25 the insurance policy to RBN for doing this.
Absolutely. RBN, part of it is we ask for a donation. RBN has helped us get the word out. RBN was there for Joyce. RBN's been there for me. Thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
And
ma'am.
I am absolutely happy to work with you on this.
Okay, so what do they do? We got a minute. We only got a minute. What do they do?
Okay. Go to anticorruptionsociety.com. That's a good place to start. Homepage. Scroll down. Notice of condition preceding in the right-hand column. It's a big blue image. Click on that. It'll give you all kinds of links and get you started.
All right. Anticorruptionsociety.com.
Yeah.
Jen, thank you. I appreciate it, Al Whitney. Her program is on Saturday nights, folks. You can call in and discuss these issues with her as well. 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on RBN. Thank you, Al.
Thank you, John.
All righty, ma'am.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.